Hello, my name is Mari K. Smith, and I am the WYSO Miller Fellow for 2016, and you are listening to The Antioch Word, a podcast about and for the Antioch College community. I am truly honored to be a part of this community, and wouldn't trade the experiences I've had here for anything. One part of being an Antiochian is taking a co-op term every third quarter of the year. Our second years just recently came back from theirs and shared their experiences at a special co-op swap edition of Community Meeting. To show our community the type of work WYSO does, our webmaster Juliet Fromholt acted as an interview-style moderator for the discussion, and I used a boom mic to record each of our second year's responses. Juliet went on to ask them about their favorite part of co-op, one surprising experience, and one big takeaway from their 3 months.
So my name is Catherine Tisch. I go by Cat. Most people know me as Cat. My co-op was, I worked at Crotchet Mountain School in New Hampshire. I worked in a classroom where these were kids, they were on the autism spectrum. And we talked a lot about like baseline, like where our baselines were as the staff and also where like the kids were baseline and how we could all sort of keep ourselves at that, because we can't learn if we're always up and escalating and on, you know, that we talked about the crisis cycle. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting because I started to become a lot more reflective on how I was feeling and how that was affecting certain behaviors that would happen. So if I was high anxiety, I would come into the classroom, high anxiety, I had to check myself and be like, okay, you know, like bring myself back down to baseline. Otherwise I wouldn't be able to handle what I had to handle. And then the kids would reflect, they were reflecting back on you, what you were reflecting on them. It was just like this back and forth of energies. And it was just an interesting thing to see it so plainly. We talked about like, you know, how to create like an environment of like dignity and respect and trust. And we talked about the crisis cycle and where people were on the crisis cycle. And it was about, you know, like who we were working for. And then at the end, I had to take more of this training of the same sort because we had such a high rate of injury in the classroom because we had so many behaviors. And so suddenly they flipped it around on us and they were like, where are you on the crisis cycle? So like now I'm like, oh, yeah, that's something that I feel like I can always think about that. And I even still have like the booklets, you know, talking about how to create this like sort of environment where you can pull from your baseline and like, you know, try and step back and like bring yourself down out of crisis mode, which, you know, we all get there. So I think that, I don't know, I think that definitely is something that I'll probably always remember and try to utilize.
Hi, I'm Angel Nalavega. I co-opted at the North Star Fund in New York City, and I got to participate in, it wasn't exactly a project, but I helped participate in setting up their movement leadership program retreat, which they have every year as part of a grant that they give to qualified grantees that participate in this program, and they go through leadership training and also get matched with coaches to help them in their growth as leaders in their grassroots organizing groups. And so I got to meet these really dynamic people who work in these groups around all around New York City, Staten Island, and the Bronx. And I got to set everything up, and just I was in the background a lot of the time, but I got to participate by talking and meeting all of these really great people. So it was a great project to be involved with. I think something that surprised me about my co-op was I kind of had some preconceived notions of what philanthropy was going in, because I like kind of come from a background where I'm like, well, there are all these rich people who just throw money at issues and then they fade away into the nothingness and then like the problems are solved. And then I got to see how diverse philanthropy is as a field. Like it's not all, they're not all the same people donating and giving their money, but then at the same time, the same like systems of oppression or systems that we see in other fields are still very real and present in philanthropy. And I got to attend a forum at the Ford Foundation in New York, which is a really big, famous foundation and gives thousands and billions of dollars to different things. And I got to see, they had the first two forums were community organizers presenting on their work and on movements and social movements and how they grow and how they develop. And then the last forum was like funders and people in philanthropy. And the room was almost all white, except for a very few people of color in the room. And there was one black person on the forum, on the funder forum, and he just worked at the foundation. And the rest were like, were donors and executive directors. And then they were talking about how difficult it is to fund like grassroots organizing groups that were mostly like POC-led or black-led organizing groups. And they're like, it's so hard. How do we fund these things? And how is it like, how do we do these things? And then by the end of the forum, the black program officer said, it's not that hard. You all are making it difficult. It's not that difficult. And to see that like that raw frustration at the Ford Foundation with millions of dollars of people in the room kind of made me think about philanthropy a little more, that even though there's another side to philanthropy and there's still a lot of like, there's social justice driven philanthropy, which is cool, there's still a lot of there's still very real oppressive dynamics that are still in place. But I think I'm probably going to take away the like asking questions and driving deeper and really trying to analyze everything that I'm doing and bringing to a space and then seeing what everybody else is doing as well. Because you can't just think about yourself all the time. You have to really consider what everyone is bringing to the table and what that does and what that means, not only for like that one meeting that you're doing, but overall, and how that all connects to that one mission that you're focusing on, or the one thing that you really love. And so I think for me, I'm really going to try to continue agitating and asking questions and being okay with being confused and asking more, and just not being afraid to annoy people with my questions, because they're leading up to something. And I think that what my co-op did was kind of train me to ask more questions and to be more involved and to think more critically about issues and what practically can be done about those issues.
Hi, I'm Isabel Sagadelli, and I did a self-design co-op where I found a cancer retreat in Hawaii. Let's see, my favorite project was probably taking a break and, you know, getting to eat a coconut. That was, yeah, special. Oh, let's see, there were many surprising things over co-op. I learned that just because you're on an island does not mean you get to go to the beach every day. I made it to the beach 3 times, but you know, I'm still tan, so all good. And I should point out that just because I was at a cancer retreat, I was actually ended up being more of a farm intern because they had a farm, and so that's mostly what I worked on. And I was surprised how much work actually goes into a farm, because here, I work on the farm part-time, and so I'm not there every day from, you know, 7 till 5 sometimes. And it's a lot of work, and I don't know, it gave me a lot of respect for people, for farmers who sell things at the farmer's market, because really I would not be that generous with my food if I grew it myself and put the amount of effort it takes to grow something and produce life. So that was a good learning experience.
Okay, the big takeaway from my co-op?
Well, for me personally, I should never live with my boss ever again. and I've made that mistake twice now, so hopefully third time around. But I also learned that, I don't know, as an intern, and I don't know if everyone else feels this way, but when you're in your interview, you should know what you want out of your co-op, and you should be specific. because my employer was demanding and she wanted things a certain way and them to be exact. And my only goal of this co-op was to be somewhere warm, which, you know, did happen. But that was it, and I didn't know what I wanted out of this co-op other than that, which in some cases definitely I should have thought about more.
Hi, my name's Ellie Burke. I did a self-design co-op in Chicago at a studio run by three artists called Ink Factory. Their vision is a world where visuals are the universal language, and their mission is to create visual experiences that inspire and engage. I was mostly learning on my co-op, so I was learning how to do a thing called graphic recording, which can take you all around the world, and companies will hire you to listen to their discussions, and you'll synthesize the what's happening, the context, the words, the spoken words, and sort of synthesize it into illustrative text and visuals, and sort of a storyboard blooms before you, and it creates a deeper understanding in the room. So my favorite project, I had a lot of projects that I did, but the most intense project that I did and most like where I learned the most was probably my final project, which took about a month out of my co-op. And it was where I created a stop motion video about why every day should be bring your pet to work day. So yeah, that was my favorite project. Since I was learning for most of my co-op, I was learning how to graphic record. I would listen to podcasts, and they would make me scribe, which is when you make a graphic recording, that's what like a person's called when they're doing it, is a scribe. So I would scribe to these podcasts in real time, and it was so incredibly hard. And when at the end of the podcast, which would be like 20, 30 minutes, sometimes 50 minutes, I would have this piece of crap. And it was really humbling because I was getting paid hourly there. And when I was like, whoa, I'm learning and I'm getting paid. And I felt really uncomfortable by that for a little while until the end of my co-op where when I had my sort of critique of like my work. They talked about how they have to invest in brain power. So for more thinkers and doers in that field, you have to invest, so you have to pay. And that was just really nice and illuminating. A lot of times people talk about interning for free, like somewhere you don't get paid. But what's been really nice about this co-op is I've learned to value my work and value what I do. And I can't work for free. I have to pay my way through college. And so I think being paid for learning is actually something that's very valuable because students or interns can start to like really value what they do. And I think that sort of the power that comes with that is really good and it can steer people forward. So that's what really surprised me about this co-op is just kind of learning about that.
Hi, my name is Odette Chavez-Mayo, and I kind of did a co-op that was a part of the co-op program, and I also did kind of like a self-design. I had three different jobs. I worked at the Frankel Gallery, which is a fine art photography gallery. It's in San Francisco, and I worked for two fine art photographers in their studios, Jim Goldberg and McNair Evans, and I think that my favorite project that I got to do was in Jim Goldberg's studio. One of his most famous works is a book named Raised by Wolves, and there's a limited like amount of copies that there are, so they're not very accessible, and I got to scan every single page, and they're making like a digital copy that they're gonna sell, and that was really cool. And at the end of my co-op, I had the opportunity to look through his archives of the test prints that he had done like back when he made the book, and he let me pick a box and go through all of the test prints. And so that was really cool because typically you see the polished, good, like pretty done work, and I got to see like the things that got cut out, and I got to see when he was messing around with like the exposure of his film and like that was really, really cool. So, yeah. And it was historical. Like, nobody can get to do that, you know, like, touch his original, like, test prints. One of the major things that I learned was that I think a lot of times we have works of art or music pieces or something that we really idolize and really love. And so then we like inherently assume that the creator of that is like, you know, like this master god per human being thing. And or like, you know, you, like you think of, I don't know, I'm trying to think like Da Vinci or Van Gogh, like you think that they're so great. And it's not that these people aren't great, but like I really learned like these people are just human. I mean, they have amazing work, but they are human and they have flaws and sometimes they get on your nerves and sometimes you really love them and they inspire you, but like I learned that very well. And as well as at the, and that was with like Jim Goldberg and with the Frankel Gallery. During my co-op, I had a lot of health issues. I had a prolonged staph infection and all of these other things. And so that wasn't too great, but I think the thing that will stick forever with me after this co-op is how important it is to take care of yourself and how much that completely can impact, you know, like how much that affects your environment and what you're doing and others around you. But like really, like taking care of yourself is so important. Like I really learned that after having all of those issues that I think were a result of a lot of stress and not taking care of myself the past, you know, couple of months since I've maybe been here, because it's a really like stressful environment, which is good and challenging, but just like the importance of making sure that you're okay before you try to, you know, win victories for humanity, like win victories for yourself first, you know, like make sure you're okay so that you can help others, because really like there's nothing other, like if you're gone, then what's the point?
Hey, so I'm Ashley Toll, and I co-opted at the Schweitzer Learning Center in Torrance, California. I think I didn't really have a particular project that was my favorite, but definitely my favorite part was spending time with someone who has a perspective on the world that is vastly different than anything I've ever like experienced or like had a chance. Like, I don't know, it's just so different and I love it. Like, I was able to see the world in a whole new way through like the eyes of like my student or the student I like helped. So I think what surprised me about my co-op would have to be probably two things. One is just that the Schweitzer Center is organized super well. Like, they do what they do so well, and it's an awesome place to be. Like, there's just like so much respect for everyone there, and like they just like deal with you at your level and like don't expect anything that you can't give them, and it's amazing. And it made it fun, like not just, I'm sure it'd be amazing, like I think every student should go to school like that no matter their skill level, but it was like amazing to work there too, because like they deal with their employees the same way. It's just, I don't know, it's so beautiful. And then the second thing that surprised me was the amount of emotional connection I got with a lot of the students there. I was expecting it to be like kind of a job, and like I would sort of have that like professional distance, which I did, but also I got pretty emotionally attached to them. They are amazing people that I love to be around, and I miss them all, and it's only been like a little while, and I want to go back so bad. Yeah, like I think my major takeaway from my co-op would just be that, like Odette said, victories for humanity can come in like any form or shape and size. And I think when I applied here, I expected to, I don't know, like go for that one big victory for humanity. But now I see that you actually win victories for humanity like every day in a little way. And it's definitely changed how I perceive success.
Hi. I'm Taylor Spratt. I co-opt at the Kokrobite Institute in Ghana. The institute was founded by an artist educator from Massachusetts, an African-American woman, to hold short and long-term study abroad programs 25 years ago. Did I say that? And she, in the last about 5 to 7 years, she's started some local development projects around literacy and resourceful design. There was just a lot. Every day was something new. I guess my favorite part was just being immersed in an NGO study abroad hybrid and having to like bounce back and forth between different projects and all that that asked of me, good and bad. I guess a lot surprised me about my co-op because I went in with a pretty open mind and I didn't know my specific tasks. And basically I worked for a very small staff and that would just ask a lot of all of us. And what really surprised me was how much the director had to oversee the entire project and I guess kind of trying to interpret her vision for the place as individual staff members and what that meant, how you have to learn to communicate with people. And then the levels of cultural difference. My boss is American, but a lot of the staff was Ghanaian. And so just trying to all collaborate on this ever-changing vision was a really, really interesting experience. Like has been said, the work living balance, pretty over that, done that a few times, and reflected a lot about, you know, what it means to have your professional, personal, and social circles be combined, particularly when the projects you're working on are not really your own. You know, you're not really a collaborator. You're kind of, I mean, I'm an intern. I'm doing the small jobs so that the project gets done. And I mean, just reflecting on maybe that's not how I actually want to work for the rest of my life, because while this project is really great, you know, what kind of acknowledgement do I need from my work? And I mean, that just bleeds into a lot of things. I mean, what is alternative study abroad? What is like reciprocal benefit between people coming to communities and the communities themselves? And what is intercultural exchange? What's tourism? What's voluntourism? What's this ecotourism? What's development? What's being a white person in Africa? What's reimagining development? A lot of the projects were based around this idea that the newer projects the Institute's working on, as opposed to the study abroad programs, are basically thinking about the fact that oil has been found in Ghana and that it's really changing these communities, and how to, as the director phrases it, merge landscapes. You know, how do you, as a global citizen, understanding that we're all connected by, you know, the world, by oil, by air, by water, what it means to care about development in other areas, and how you navigate culture. And I mean, working for the Institute, I thought a lot about how, wow, I don't know how I'm going to talk about this when I go back to Antioch, because it's very much a model of working within the system. And one of the projects was funded by International Oil Company to build this community resource center to basically prevent another Niger Delta. Like, that was like an explicitly said statement. And the community knows it, we know it, the oil company obviously knows it, but how do you really like stretch that opportunity and take it and just say, well, we're gonna do something awesome with this? And what does it mean to have the Institute as a forum for international doers and thinkers and really create a space for intercultural exchange? When does that bleed into neocolonialism? Can you avoid that? You know, and I guess at the end of the day, I found myself thinking a lot about projects I want to do here and things I want to do here. And I'm just happy to be back and realizing I want to work for things that feel more my own. But in terms of race and class and gender and nationality and all these experiences, I really learned a lot. I'd recommend the co-op. It was intense.
This has been Mari K. Smith with the Antioch Word. courtesy of member-supported WYSO Public Radio. To listen to more episodes of The Antioch Word, visit WYSO.org. A very special thank you to the Co-op Department of Antioch College, Nina Ellis, Juliette Fromholt, and to all of our lovely second years who shared their stories with us.